Hello, my dudes, and hello, my dudettes, and welcome to Rocks on the Bifrost, where on each and every episode, we discuss the coolest, chillest, and handsomest dude guy bromance friend in the whole rock-free world, our guy, Chad Hammer. I'm your host, the Immortal Faz, and along with my guy, Rowdy Roddy Rocks on Ryan, we are here to take you on a journey in the good old Thor truck with our Mjolnir premium subscriptions. There will be battles, there will be babes, and there will be rocks on. Welcome to the show, everybody. Rowdy Roddy Rocks on Ryan. What did you think of what is sure to be known as the greatest comic of all time?
I mean, we're gonna have so much time to get to this comic. I want to talk about, first and foremost, the best intro we have ever heard on this podcast, the greatest intro that maybe the world of comic books has ever seen. So, okay, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, everybody. I'm Ryan. I'm one of your hosts. Faz is one of the Warriors Three. He was so looking forward to this issue that he was like, hey, we should switch up the intro for the episode. And I was like, okay, dear God, what is this going to be? And dude, you fucking nailed it. That was awesome.
Hey, look, man, I've done enough of these to know how the intro usually goes. And after listening to that, after reading that comic once, I knew exactly what needed to be said.
Right.
And it's also important to note for this episode, we are missing one of our broskies three, not Warriors three,
because
we're in the
three,
rocks on the world. Chilliam William, Puffy Will in the flesh, is unavailable today. Or Puffer Will, whatever he called himself before.
Check out Superpower Happy Hour for that reference, yeah, everybody.
There you go. It's all connected, just like the Marvel Comics universe. But it had to be done to show off what is truly one of the comics of all time.
One of the comics of all time. Oh, my gosh. Everybody, we are all, you know what? I'm not even going to say all jokes aside, because this entire issue is pretty much like a oops, all jokes. It's like, oops, all jokes, but incredibly meta at the same time. So here's what we are reading tonight. We have Roxxon Presents Thor number one, written by Al Ewing, penciled by Greg Land, inks by Jay Liston, and colors by Frank DiArmada, letters by Joe Sabino, and edited by Will Moss and Michelle Marchese. This is, I don't know if as the issue we've been looking forward to for the last few months, because it's so bonkers. It's so outside of our norm. And yet it is, I don't know, maybe one of the funniest things I've ever read. There's so much packed into this issue. And we're going to give you a synopsis. We're going to tell you, you know, what we thought about this. But like, Faz, did this, you were so hyped for this issue. Did this live up to the hype that you had going into for it?
Oh man, it didn't just live up to the hype. It kind of blew the hype out of the water, in that it's just not mailed in at all. Like, I didn't think that Al would put like every line, listeners, every panel has a joke in it. Every single one of them is a meta commentary. We're not going to be able to get to everything tonight in this comic, because it's just, there's too much crazy shit. From Mjolnir being a premium subscription-based item that Thor uses to access his powers and to get into his truck, to him having a fucking truck, to everything that comes from there, like to appropriating surfer culture, like it just, oh my God, it hits, Ryan. It does everything I needed it to.
Oh, yep, it hits the spot. It hits the spot. You may be wondering, listeners, you know, you're going to get my thoughts on this issue. You're going to get Faz's thoughts on this issue. Are we going to get Will Rose's thoughts on this? Yes, we are. Will Rose sent in his thoughts, because they could not be missed. They're indispensable for this issue. So we'll give you those thoughts at some point later on the episode. Faz has those queued up and he's going to read them off for us. Mm-hmm. A Rose report. Roxxon presents the Rose Report later on in the episode. But everybody, we are here to break this down. I'm going to give you a synopsis, and then I don't know, wherever the Rainbow Superhighway takes us, we will go and we will try and give you our best with this, because I don't know, guys. It was fucking unbelievable. Okay. Roxxon presents Thor number one starts. We are inside the issue that Thor is reading at the moment. So this we are reading this issue as Thor in the story is reading this issue. It starts off with Thor before the throne of Odin, and Odin basically says, "Hey, recently you were sent off to Earthguard, and yeah, that was all kind of like a ruse, like prove that you were loyal to me. Really, gods should just rule. Gods should rule because we rule. Put it that way." And then Roxxon Thor shows up on Earthguard. We see his premium subscription hammer. We see the Thor truck for the first time. We see him talking to babes on the street. We see so many different things, though. He has to password encode his cyber truck, Thor truck. He peels out.
Hey. The truck is not a reference to anything. We don't want to be sued by a certain litigious company that has a giant T on the front of their stuff. We would never do that. This is a Thor truck. The fact that it's a box and it's bright gray and runs over people with its auto driving has nothing to do with anything. We are not referencing anything, and neither is Al Ewing.
We then see Thor drive up to the Roxxon headquarters, and there's some unruly youths outside who are protesting, and they're getting in Thor's way. He lights up the street with some lightning, and then he views it as like it like he walks away from this situation hurt. He walks away from this being the
Emotionally,
victim.
though, emotionally hurt.
Yes, even a thunder god can cry.
Yeah.
He meets up with his mentor and best friend, the Minotaur, who tries to talk some sense in him and points out that maybe it's his brother Loki that's causing all these problems. We then see Loki being the mastermind behind the unruly youths, and he's secretly the bad guy, the quote unquote bad guy in this issue. We go off to the beach, and Thor is chilling with Scourge and Amora. There is some underlying drama in Scourge and Amora's romance that
It's a love triangle, listeners.
Scourge is a little oblivious to it.
Or I guess a love square if you include Heimdall too, eh?
Heimdall shows up, old school Heimdall shows up, and they all go to break up the unruly youths as the Broskies three, Thor, Roxxon Thor, and the Broskies three. Loki unleashes some magic to turn his unruly youths into monsters. And then we see kind of like a we zoom out a little bit and we see the Minotaur talk to Thor about the comic he's reading being a parody of him. And there's some really interesting truths that are, given to us in that little conversation that the Minotaur has with him, but then we pop right back into the story and we throw on some goggles, some alternative reality, artificial reality goggles, and we see
For
the
only
Broskies
$8.99, you
three.
can get them yourself, listeners.
Only $899, everybody, and you can have rock specs. We see the unruly youths get taken out by the personal crowd controlling drones, and it's only a few thousand volts of non-lethal electricity coursing through their veins.
Can get those for $9.99, listeners.
Yes. We go back to Asgard at the end, and we see Thor be like, "Hey, maybe I should rethink about what it's like to be a hero." And then it was like, no, it's all about money at the end.
Straight cash, homie.
Minotaur hands him a bunch of money for a bonus, all in a good day's work for Chad Hammer. And yeah, that's where we get the title of the issue. It is hate is oh gosh, let me get the phrasing correct. It is hate is a color called green.
Yeah.
And we end with seeing Roxxon Thor with a big old pile of money in his hands, and we're told that the next thing we're going to see is Immortal Thor number 10. But Faz, I don't think my synopsis did this comic any amount of justice. I was just trying to hit some high notes. Man, like what do you want to talk about first
Well,
with Roxxon Presents Thor?
I want to talk about two parts that connect because our friend Will is going to want us to. Not
Yes.
only does in the first page or so Thor use the word radical,
He does.
But later on in the issue, he's shown in this like Thor versus Surfer outfit where he's got this lightning encoded surfing outfit with the big hammer on front and a Roxxon beautiful surfboard. And I
Yes,
think
big
that,
rocks on all over the front of the surfboard.
yeah, and that kind of segues into the fact that all the Roxxons over the course of the entire book are used amazingly. There's signs for Roxxon everywhere. Mjolnir has Roxxon on it. Captain America has Roxxon on his back in an ad about America, the greatest company on earth. Roxxon, 50 states of America, 50 years of Roxxon. Like just so much. Like they just. Oh my God, Ryan. I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know what to say. The reason for the haircut being, what did he say? He said, "The Allfather hath raised no bums. Thou must get a haircut, my son, and a job in tech." So he gets the short haircut and becomes an AI spokesman.
Thou must get a job in tech. Thou must get a haircut. Oh my gosh, dude. It is next level how good this is. And by the way, the 50 years of Roxxon, that is true. This is the 50th year of Roxxon.
That's awesome. So meta.
And the reason why, I mean, in my opinion, the reason why Roxxon is seen in that little ad with Captain America was Roxxon's first appearance is in a issue of Captain America.
Oh, even when we're
So it's
parodying, Al's all about paying homage to what came before, right? That's awesome.
Roxxon's first appearance came in Captain America number 180 in night in it was released September 10th, 1974. So a little bit of deep diving there. The 50 years of Roxxon joke in it, even in a joke, it's not a joke. It's still friggin' fantastic.
And the detail.
Okay. There's a few things here that we got to talk about that we've talked about in the previews. Mjolnir is this subscription-based hammer that can do all these different kind of things, and it kind of resembles a phone at times because he can do different things with the hammer. He can swipe it and do different things, but also the hammer keeps upgrading throughout the issue because the hammer has different names throughout, and we end with the hammer being called, oh goodness, it's like Mjolnir Prime or something like that.
Premium.
Yeah,
Mjolnir
Mjolnir
Premium. Yeah.
Premium.
But also though, it's got two important tasks to do all the Thor powers for him and also keep him updated on whatever the newest hilarious meme is.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Mjolnir's great. So we talked a little bit about the Thor truck already,
Oh,
but
you were so excited, Ryan. Tell us what you thought.
we thought, I think I can speak for Faz and I, and maybe a little bit of Will here, where we thought like the Thor truck was going to be this big, like dually, like just like
Like a monster
the
truck.
ultimate douchebags truck.
Yeah.
And it's not, it actually, like it's a, what you said earlier, Faz, it's like a cyber truck.
It's a Cybertruck. Yeah, that's exactly
It's
what it is.
a big rectangle. It kind of looks like the mallet part of Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Man, do you prefer it this way, where it almost looks like the Ninja Turtles van,
So this is
or
so much funnier. The fact that it's a takedown
okay.
of the Cybertruck versus being a really badass monster truck is
Yeah.
so funny. Like the like I said before, like the running over people in autopilot, like the big T on the front, him struggling to open it because the technology is too, it doesn't have actual handles anymore. So futuristic, and he's got to use the app, and the app doesn't work properly, so he can't even get into his truck. And he can't let the girl into his truck because of the same problems. Like, it's just, oh my God. I can't stop saying, oh my God.
And when the Thor truck gets hit with a banana peel, it gets hit with one banana peel,
Yeah.
and then Thor brings down the thunder on everybody.
No. But before we even get there, the signs that the ecological quote unquote terrorists say, they read, "Down with stuff. Boo. Good things are
Things are
bad, actually."
actually good things
Grr.
are bad.
Thor makes me sore. And the thing they're chanting is one, two, three, four. Who do we like? Not Thor.
It's just it's so bad it's good. And when Thor's truck is assaulted by this banana peel, he says the glass is bulletproof in the case of urban threat, as is standard, but my feelings are not. Thus, I summon the storm as easily as I might summon a delicious triple beef Roxburger via rocks on grub to go. As the unruly youths scatter, he says, for all I have ever wished for the realm of mortals was for them to think I am cool. And now they do not as much. Truly it is said, even a thunder god can cry. And he's shedding a tear as they run away. Like, this is the most self-absorbed. I can't think of another way to say it. Like, he's just a douche.
He's
He
a
is an
piece of shit,
absolute
exactly. Yeah.
self-absorbed douche.
Yeah.
He's a narcissist. Like, everything is about him. I love the it's both this comic is both very self-aware because of how Al is writing it, but he's writing a very unaware character. So we see Loki inserted in this story, Faz. What did you think of Loki's part to play, or maybe some of your highlights for the god of evil, the wicked bodacious trickster?
So two things. Number one, them being like unable, like, sorry, Loki, we couldn't defeat him. And he's like, what? How could you not crush Thor when you had a whole banana skin to do it with? And then he talks about the wicked bodacious Thor truck that is yours for only $99,999. And then they
What
go,
a deal.
he says, time for another manipulative lie, methinks. And they go, wait, what was that? He goes, nothing. Climate change is real.
Change
And
is
then they move
real.
on.
Oh my gosh. I would
And then he's like,
love.
quick, give a 10-hour video essay about why Thor is bad. Oh, yes, a video essay.
Yes, a video essay. When they okay, so my favorite part of this entire issue, and that was really hard to boil down. My favorite part of this issue was when they break into Loki's hidden base, and they do it because Heimdall can smell the quote. Oh gosh, how does he say this? Heimdall can smell it. He says, "I, but not you cannot hide from my all-smelling nose." And your allies, like all who protest against upstanding business geniuses, do not bathe properly. And Loki screams, "By the pits of Muspelheim, the pits of smelly hippies are my downfall." And
And then
then
gives a chance for a
Thor,
product placement ad. Come on.
so
Axe body spray. I mean, Roxxon body spray.
do the product placement
Of
fast.
course. So Thor says in his most smiling product placement face, "A shame they disdain the good products of Roxxon, Loki, for only Roxxon body gel, scented with engine oil and hot sauce, hath exfoliating microplastics that keep even a god fresh, clean, and ready for action." And then Enchantress, with a heart around her speech bubble, goes, I'll say.
Oh God, it's so crazy.
Just to slightly
Jesus.
back up too, there's this like extremely unnecessary, gratuitous shot of the Enchantress, like stripping almost out of her bikini. And then she gets a big hug from Scourge, and we learn that there's a love square going on.
Right, love square,
Scourge
right.
is an idiot and just understands that, like, what does he say? Weeping a happy tear for our drama-free love life, I see.
I see.
Meanwhile, she's pining over Thor. Heimdall comes over and she references that they blew their relationship. There are three men in the Enchantress's life here: Thor, Scourge, and Heimdall. And it's just, oh my God, Ryan, I can't stop saying, oh my God, everything about this is hilarious.
Well, so I love how the Enchantress really doesn't play a huge part in this. But like she's still used to great effect, especially to cause the tension between the Broskies three, which I will never get tired of saying the
Okay, actually,
Broskies
before we go
three.
any further, Ryan, If for this episode we are the Broskies three, do you think that
Yes.
you are Scourge, Heimdall, or the Enchantress? Remember that whatever you pick, Will and I can't be, and we have to fill this in for the three of us.
I think I'm Heimdall.
Okay, so your Heimdall is
I think
Will.
you're Thor.
No, Thor isn't an option. We have to be the three, we have to be the Broskies three,
Oh, well
right?
that I,
So
okay.
am I the
So a more
Enchantress or am I Scourge is the question.
I think oh no. Oh no. I don't know what I want to say.
I think I'm the Enchantress personally.
I you know what? If you're cool with it, I'm definitely cool with it because it's what I was gonna say.
All respect to Alex, who is the true Enchantress, but I can be the Roxxon Enchantress for this episode as the
as she listens to this and fumes at your blasphemy.
she will be upset, but just know I'm a cheap copy, Alex. I'm just here for this Roxxon Thor issue. And I mean, you know ill will. I definitely can't fill out a bikini like the Enchantress can in this comic, but I will do my
Nor should you
best.
ever try. The part of the issue that I think is maybe meant for us going forward, like the ongoing actual story part of why Roxxon is dealing with any of this Enchantress nonsense, the plan that she has in mind, is when the Minotaur breaks the, quote unquote, the fourth wall, and we see Thor reading the comic that we are inside, and Minotaur breaks that, breaks that veil and says, "Can you hear me now, Thor? I want to rotate into this experience for just a moment to speak to you directly. The comic is self-parody, of course, but parody is an effective weapon in these times." I love that line. "A brand that takes itself seriously is mocked. A brand that mocks itself has free rein, a free pass into every consumer's head. Screenshot the cheesy advertisements, turn them into memes, make them viral, a disease that nests inside of you. Make them harmless. We can laugh together, can't we? We're such good friends. How could you do this without us? We are allowed to play, to be in our own joke, because in the end, the joke is on you. The joke is you, and we'll tell you until it eats you alive. Understand? You are a joke now, Thor. A stupid, pathetic joke." And then Thor just shouts, "This is not who I," and then he's right back into the illusion. He's right back into the issue. They're changing it again to put him back in this situation where he's just this, Chad Hammer meathead. But Faz, what did you think about that? We're breaking the fourth wall in a comic where we're already breaking the fourth wall in a meta kind of way.
So this panel is definitely the reason why Al Ewing wanted this story. He only does this kind of meta stuff when he has a story to tell, and this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to talk about the dangers of capitalism, the evil that big corporations are able to do, and the fact that self-parody can be weaponized in this way in order to distract people and kind of keep themselves in a safe spot and distract them from what they're actually doing, right? So this to me is why this storyline exists, and I think it's poignant. It is crazy to me that Al was able to do this. And I also read a couple reviews and a couple comments that made this point that I thought was really interesting. Most people who are high-level business people at companies would totally understand the Minotaur's reasons, as yeah, business-wise, that makes perfect sense. It's not even incorrect from a business perspective. It's just extremely icky. And the fact that Al gets to make that clear and lay it bare through a Thor comic like this is really cool. Even the silliest, goofiest, most ridiculous Thor comic, Al is telling, he's making a point. He's telling a very important story and giving a message. And I think that's really cool.
And we go from that message, in that important message, we go then to an immediate distraction. We go back to the distraction of beating up Loki and the unruly youths. I love how they do this because normally we would see Thor, bring down lightning, and he would use his own lightning, But now he can show it in awesome 8K. You'll feel it. You've never been crisper, my evil brother. They bring in these drones, and this is so funny to me. Scourge is narrating a little bit, and he says, "Firing 200 rocks on brand, not quite lethal, taser rounds per second. They're fully legal for personal use on the highway, personal defense on the highway." And there's an asterisk that points you to a panel at the bottom of the page that says Supreme Court
Sorry, I'm
judgment
still not
pending.
sure about that.
It says Supreme Court judgment still pending. And then Scourge and Thor high five and say, "Ha ha, thou art merciful indeed, Scourge," as there's just tons of people laying on the ground, like partially conscious.
Yeah, but they're not dead, Ryan.
They're not dead. They're not dead. Though these vicious hoodlums have surely earned worse than a painful thousand jolt shock or several. I thought that was hilarious. It was like, "Ha
Yeah.
ha, thou art merciful indeed," as these people are just splayed out on the ground. Oh my gosh. Faz, towards the end, did you have any like final thoughts on where Thor is put at the where Roxxon Thor is put at the Roxxon end of this issue?
I think the final shot of that's the kind of green policy I like while he's holding money is the perfect encapsulation of this Thor that we've gotten. And I think that, even Gaia going from last book being a kind of grotesque man thing style beast to being like a pretty
Yeah.
woman with roses on her kind of perfectly
Right.
encapsulates it. But the thing I really want to focus on is our note from our friend Puffer Will and what he thought about the issue.
Okay, yeah. So we've given you kind of our thoughts, and I'm sure we'll do like some final wrap-up stuff. But this is Faz is about to read Will Rose's thoughts in Roxxon Presents The Rose Report.
Now, as longtime listeners will know, I do a perfect Will Rose impression. So I will do my best to bring the same quality that I've brought in the past
It's
in this
spot on.
Roxxon Rose report. Radical? Radical, Mr. Ewing? If I wasn't laughing throughout this whole comic book story and parody, I just might forget how highly outraged and offended I am of Roxxon culturally appropriating surf culture and stoking stereotypes. At this very moment, I'm outside Marvel offices with my protest sign that reads, 678, who do we appreciate? Not Greg Land. Actually, now that I think about it, he was perfect for this book, and meta commentary that the things I actually care about could be turned into a joke or a meme to distract me from doing anything about it. That's straight from the vocal cords of Will Rose. Ryan, what'd you
Dun
think?
dun dun. That was Roxxon Presents The Rose Report.
I think last time I went really deep with his voice, so I wanted to go as high as I could do it this time. Yeah.
No. You know what? I think, I didn't expect it to actually kind of remind me of Will. Now watch. He'll listen to this like, that sounds nothing like me. What? I don't know
Turns
why
out
it's
Will
coming out
sounds
so
like Mickey
screamy.
Mouse, poor guy. So,
Oh shit.
to be clear, Will loved the issue, thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
He was shocked at the amount of surfing references, and he thought it was a really nice meta commentary, is the takeaway,
Yeah.
guys. It might have been hard to hear over the high-pitched squealing that came from me, but that's
Over the spot on impressionistic
from the perfect,
talents.
I know you were all awestruck by how perfect my rendition of Will's voice was, but
I thought they said Will wasn't on this episode. I heard him perfectly.
They must have had him recorded early. That must have been what happened.
Yeah, we're dropping it. We're dropping in voicemails
Yeah, no, that's
now.
exactly it. But in some, like we were saying before, Ryan, I think if it went for longer than an issue, it would become annoying.
Oh, for sure. For
But as a
sure.
one-off hilarious parody, this was probably perfect. I could handle more, like if Al decided he wanted to do two or three of them, it wouldn't piss me off. But as a one-off like this, with every word being a joke, I don't think I would change a single thing.
No, and I think that because Here's just and just so you know, listeners, next week we're gonna release an episode kind of just talking about our favorite moments of Immortal Thor so far. Kind of like just checking in. What do we like? What have we liked, about this run so far? So we'll get a little bit more of this on the next episode. But one thing I think that this issue really highlighted for me was we've done a lot of dense story lore building this conflict between the Elder Gods and Gaia and Tyrannos and all that, all that stuff. This issue was a very nice kind of meta palate cleanser where we got to like laugh a ton, but also realize like some of the like deeper themes Al is really trying to at least shed light on. I'm not saying this is like, Al Ewing's manifesto for what a very poignant and current comic should be. I'm just saying he does either poke fun or raise questions about things in our very real world through the character of Chad Hammer and through the entity of Roxxon. Like we all know these themes that he brings up about Roxxon, they are things in our real world. So like the comics world mirrors our world in a way that we can both laugh at, but also say, oh shit, it is like that though. What did you think about that, Faz, about like how this comic did mirror certain things in our real world?
Well, similar to what we talked about, I think maybe the last issue of Immortal Thor, when Jason Aaron did it, it was almost too soon for its time. He was making similar points, and a lot of people were like, capitalism's not really like that. This is ridiculous. Come on, Jason. No one, an undead minotaur running a giant company that's an allegory for Apple and Facebook and Google is ridiculous. Now, 10 years later, Jason looks like a prophet, and Al looks like he's preaching the good news, right? Like this is very
He's
much
reaping the benefits of a foundation well laid.
like every one of these jokes, you could see McDonald's making an ad with this sort of thing in here. You could see any corporation doing these things now. It's not unreasonable at all. Like they've built on each other beautifully so that if Jason was the dire warning, Al is like, we're too fucking late and this is what it's like now.
We're too, but and it's crazy, like it would be hard. It would be impossible for, unless we just got, blanket truth serum answer. But it's like, was that Jason's intention? Is this Al's intention? It's kind of hard to ignore some of the obvious signs that there's definite possibility, but without speaking authoritatively for those men and their writing, that's what we are taking from this, these messages that are so, current, and like Faz said, like a lot of them even maybe ahead of the curve, ahead of the curve, and not maybe appreciated at this time. But this issue feels like a lot of people might look at this like, oh yeah, oh, that's funny, some of those jokes are, current eventy, current events jokes. This comic may read a lot more poignantly in a year or two, or 4 or 5, who knows. It'd be nice to revisit this in like 4 or 5 years.
Well, you can already see though, Ryan, like that 50 States of America ad, is that not 87% of the Super Bowl ads that play now? Like it's not really that different. Like it's right on the nose now. In 10 years when we live in a corporate hellscape run by whoever happens to win the tech race, I guess. It'll feel even more important. We won't be allowed to read it anymore, obviously, because of how the world's gonna be.
We won't be allowed to read it anymore. Get your paper copy now. Oh my gosh. And by the way, we're just like, a lot of it is, Faz and I talked about this on the pregame. A lot of this is like us talking out our ass about this. And someone might be listening to this like, oh, these guys are talking out their ass about it. I was like, yes, but in a very self-aware way.
I have one more thing I want to say on that topic. There are people who like Thor comics and don't like the MCU that think that this is Al doing a takedown of the MCU here. That is not what this is. I don't want to
But you've
pretend to
read
know.
reviews like that?
Yeah, there are people like on Twitter, like, finally, Al Ewing taking down the big MCU machine, showing
That's not what
us
he's
how
doing.
that he's like, the rocks on Thor is a perfect allegory for Chris Hemsworth, and I'm so glad that he's finally done that. I will unequivocally say that is not what's happening here. Ryan and I might not be correct. I think we're probably right about it being a capitalist takedown, but it is not that. I can be certain for you people. That is not what is going on here. This is not a Disney Marvel bad take that
Well,
you people might want it to be.
also, like, why? Yeah, no, that actually makes less sense to me. I don't know. That smacks of someone wanting it to be something that it's not. Because also, this, like, Chris Hemsworth's Thor is not this, like, capitalist spokesman guru guy.
No.
That's not who he is. He's a very the Hemsworth Thor is actually one of my favorite Thors because of how honest the character is with tragedy and loss and responsibility and feeling the ownership of an entire, nine realms that falls apart,
And being
at
broken
the end
by
of
that
his story.
experience instead of being just unnaturally strong and leadery throughout the whole process. Like he's the Thor that was torn down by losing everything instead of
Yeah.
maintaining his composure in the moment, right? And that's the fact that people think that, or like the MCU making a comedy movie means that it's the same as this book, is hilarious in a whole nother.
Well, in a way, like this is in a way, this is similar to the kind of storytelling that Thor gets in the MCU, where a lot of what Thor does is dark comedy. Where it and dark comedy has a really special way of getting across a message that, like, yeah, like mortality and life and death and sorrow and hardship, like there's nothing funny about it. There is nothing funny about it, but what else are you gonna do? Crawl up in the corner and quit? Like,
That's the whole point of Taika's movies, right? Life sucks, and your options are to wallow in it or make the best of it. And his characters
right.
make the best of it.
Which again, we say all of that, just that quick MCU aside, to be like, that is not what's happening in Roxxon Presents
No,
Thor.
it's not.
No, it's not. We're fully in the commodification of Thor, where the Minotaur is using Thor
To
to
make the
get
number
across,
go up.
to make the number go up. That's what's important in this. It's everything in Roxxon Presents Thor goes back to what the Minotaur said in number 9 of Immortal Thor. His goal is to see the number go up. That is the goal. That is the key. And Roxxon Presents Thor number 1 has definitely made my number go up. It's
Oh,
definitely
buddy.
made Faz's number go up.
My number is so up, or maybe I'm just happy to see you. It's hard to tell.
Well, holy freaking smokes. So Faz, any final thoughts about Roxxon Presents Thor number 1?
I am so glad it exists, and I can't wait to see what happens in Immortal Thor 10.
Yes. Which hey, let's just real quick read the little teaser that we get for Immortal Thor number 10. Also in this issue, no letters page yet. Kind of bummed that we haven't had a letters
Yeah,
page in
well,
quite a
Roxxon
few.
Thor's not gonna have a letters page unless if I write something like that intro into them, then they might include
Oh
it.
my gosh. Baz, we need to write a Roxxon Thor letter to the editor. That's hilarious. We
Don't
need to
tempt
do
me
that.
because Will might like that enough. Will Moss, I'm saying, to share it.
I think it needs to happen. So here we go. The little preview for Immortal Thor number 10, which by the way has a beautiful cover of Thor and Scourge fighting amidst the Roxxon office building with the Minotaur and Amora doing some water cooler talk in the background. That is a great, great cover. Love what Alex Ross did with that. Here's the synopsis. It says, the son of Odin faced three of his greatest foes in battle, with the fog of magic closing around him. Yet, even if he won, he lost, for Thor thought, not for his life, but for his death. This is the story of the immortal Thor and the Minotaur's final triumph.
Oh, or
Now,
can do you want to make predictions about 10?
absolutely, because I have no idea where this is going.
So the first three words that you cleverly didn't mention in your little summary here are
What?
Thor must die. And now that you've read that, I think that Thor is going to fight Roxxon Thor, and only one Thor can remain after their Thor
Ooh,
battle.
I like that because we did see at the end of Immortal Thor number 9, we did see that Roxxon Thor was in that image.
Yeah, that's my guess, along with the
Oh.
prophecy of Thor needing to die, maybe the one that Scourge had jumped in for. Maybe killing this Roxxon Thor will finish that off for them.
Oh, I like that. I like that
That's
a
my
lot.
guess. I'm sure I'll be wrong because, these things are never we're never right with this kind of stuff, but that's my current guess,
I'm
Fry Guy.
in the synopsis or in the teaser for next issue. I am intrigued by the last part of the teaser where it says the Minotaur's final triumph. What does that mean? Like,
Yeah, I don't know.
what does the Minotaur because we've established the Minotaur's goal is to see the number go up. So what is his version of triumph? Are we gonna get more information about the Rocks Dome? Are we going to get more information about the Enchantress's plan? Why is she tied to the Minotaur and all this? Or have I missed a detail somewhere along the way? I want to know what the Minotaur's final triumph means.
And this one feels like the wrap up of the Roxxon event as well. So I'm
It
excited to see
feels
what
like
they
for
do.
now,
Yeah.
because we. There's just so many loose ends, that we can trail off on. Tyrannos is still out there.
Well,
We've got.
longtime readers will know that that's what Al's doing, right? He's spinning this story that's going to go out in 50 different ways, and then when it's finally time to end the book, they're all going to come in for some crazy clusterfuck, right?
Roxxon presents the Thor War or something like that.
Yeah. Thor Core War, Roxxon Thor War. As part of the Absolute Absolution event.
Oh my gosh, how amazing would it be if this all ended in absolute absolution?
Listeners, just so you know, it was so funny to me that Marvel announced their newest event the day that this came out. They have like the Annihilation of 2099 coming, which looks
Yeah,
super
Annihilation
cool.
2099. Oh,
But
it
they
looks
announced that
amazing.
on the day that they were doing this spoof about the Absolute Absolution event.
Right,
And I was like, yep,
man.
no, that makes sense.
As our good friend Haley Hobbs said in a little group chat that we have with her and Will, comics fans are kind of getting everything this week. That we're recording this a few days after Roxxon Presents Thor number 1 came out, and both that day and then on the next Thursday, oh my gosh, so many different series have been announced, and slowly these things are just, coming out. I'm like, oh, look for this in June, look for this in July. It's like, oh my gosh, comics fans are going to be eating so good over the summer, especially if you're a Marvel fan. It's going to be good times
Like they must
ahead.
be selling well because they're making so many, right? Like it's
Right.
great to see.
Oh, and hey, quick aside before we wrap this up, has Blood Hunt come out yet?
No,
The
next month.
okay, so Blood Hunt is yet to come out, and that was like isn't it like their first big rated R event?
Yeah,
Like,
Vampires versus Avengers is going to be super
I
cool.
mean, just like there's so many kick-ass concepts coming out in the next few months, and I can't wait to read them. I can't wait to see what happens with Immortal Thor. So excited for next issue. But hey, everybody, that has been our breakdown, our review of Roxxon Presents Thor number 1, an issue that we were very much looking forward to. And if you would like to talk to us about it, you'd like to engage in a conversation about Roxxon Presents Thor, you can check out the links in the episode description to our Discord and our Instagram. Instagram, you can send us a DM, you can comment in our posts. We're gonna probably be posting a few jokes from this issue. So if you want to get on board with that, follow us on Instagram and check out our Discord. Faz and I hang out there, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you about this comic, other stuff. We've got a bunch of awesome folks in that server that you can hang out with. And if you would consider, just for a moment, consider supporting us at the next level, we have a link in our episode description that if you join our Patreon, our Many Pads Patreon, which is for all of our shows, you know, Across the Bifrost, Superpower Happy Hour, our new wrestling podcast, The Near Fall, which is going to have a new episode coming out very, very soon. Very, very excited about that. If you consider supporting us at the next level, you're going to get pre-games, bonus episodes, early episodes. You would have gotten this episode like 3 days early.
Oh man, we should have had ads for the Patreon and put in like every 2 minutes of this Rocks on Thor talk if we were really doing this properly.
Man, that, you know what? If they do like a Rocks on Presents Thor number two, we will definitely up our game again.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
To meet the need for it, because it feels like there's a need for it.
And listeners, also the other good thing about Patreon is you get input. You can tell us what you like, and we listen to you guys, right? It's like if there's things you enjoy that you want us to do more of, if there's like potential merch you'd be interested in, like tell us, and we're happy to make that work because we're really here for you, right? Like our listeners, I mean, we're here to just chat with our friends about comics, but you guys are the ones who let us continue to do that. And we're grateful for you guys. So if there's like, if you guys want a shirt that has a Minotaur eating the Many Paths logo, then we'll have to ask the big boss, Kim Doze.
Yeah,
but
that's
if
the big boss about that.
But if she's down and you guys all want it and there's enough of you, like we'll see what we can do, you know?
That's a good point because there, just so you know, everybody, and this is kind of a thing, well, I guess we'll talk about a little bit on the other shows as well, but like, there's a thing coming up this summer where you're going to have input on an entire like run of episodes and it's going to be awesome. And I think you guys are going to enjoy that, but that's for Patreon members. So if you consider supporting us, that'd be awesome. All of that being said, for myself, for Faz, the Faz Guardian, I am going to set us aboard the Rainbow Superhighway.
No. Before there.
Oh, well, okay.
For Rowdy Roddy Roxxon Ryan, I'm the immortal Faz, and here to take you on the super highway. Use as much diesel as you can, 9 miles a gallon. Stay spending your money on Roxxon Ryan.